yeah, it's good to have a little bit of
mm-hmm.
stuff. Okay. Well, Jackie Jolie, thank you for being on Radiant Creators again. If people want to know, let me make sure, actually, while we get started, let me just make sure everything is actually happening that we expect. Like, can the microphone hear me? Yeah. Am I loud enough for you? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I think everything is good. We're recording. Boom. So, Jackie Jolie, thanks for being on Radiant Creators again. If you want to know more about Jackie Jolie, she's been on the show before, and I'll put that interview in the show notes if you want to get the deep story. And we can certainly catch up on the new stuff Jackie Jolie is working on. But the reason Jackie's on today is to talk about an amazing new product line that she's coming out with that is extraordinary, absolutely unique, not common, and it's what's next. So you guys might want to check it out. So Jackie Jolie, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you again for having me on. And you are actually the first podcast that I've now been on twice. So that's
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, it just means that we're smart. You know,
we know it's the game. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. We know what's going on. You know, Everybody eventually will catch up, you know, but they're going to be paying for those interviews after you get big time.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So your new product, and I can share my screen. Also, you can share yours if there's things you wanted to show us, or I
just thought about that this morning. I was like, man, I kind of wish I had my prototype with me. I'm actually out of town visiting family. I don't go home until this afternoon. And I was going to bring it with me to show them too, because it's my baby and I am so excited about it. But I also was like, I don't want to fly with that, because if anything was to ever happen, I would just be devastated. So I didn't bring it with me. But once we get through the talk today, and obviously I already have a Facebook page and social media and all of that for the product, people will be able to get on there and actually see pictures of, I already have the prototype up on there so that people can see it, see what it's going to look like. And I will only continue to update everybody on social media as far as how everything's going. So,
Oh, that sounds perfect. Let me actually present then. I'm going to present. I'm going to share a screen here. Let me share a window. Let me go over here to, here we go. Let's see. I'm sharing this. We'll see if it will show up soon. Okay. There. It's not too bad of a view. That'll work. Yeah. Can you see the screen? Okay. Perfect. I like it. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to pull this up so we can look at what you're actually doing. So of course, well, radiantcreators.com, you know, Jackie Jolie has been on before, and let's look at, of course, there's Jackie's site, Light Shapes Life, well, lightshapes.life, where you can find out more about Jackie and what she's doing. And here's a page where I really saw a lot of stuff about, how do you pronounce it? Equisol or?
Equisol, yeah. So sol is Spanish for sun. And really it's a Latin based word anyways. So really if we go back in time, sol was kind of used for meaning the sun, even in whatever languages we were using before. Egyptian and Hebrew kind of use the word Ra, so you'll still see Ra a lot. You know, there's like a blue blocking glasses company called Ra Optics, and so they use Ra for the sun. I have some just Spanish history, and I like Spanish, so I really like the word soul after I got into all of the quantum health information and teaching about light. And then equa is just short from equine, so equine is the scientific name for horses. Just like obviously canine would be for dogs. Now the dog blanket will be under the label dog soul, because canine soul or ka soul just didn't sound right to me.
Yeah.
As far as naming, but the main company will be Equisol at the moment. I've got some ideas now, just because there are some other products that I want to develop after these blankets, and that's more podcasts right down the road.
Yeah.
So I may actually come up with some type of a umbrella name, you know, soul well or something like that, to where that's just the umbrella, and then Equisol, dog soul, my other products will be underneath that umbrella. But at the moment, currently, the company is Equisol, and so that's just short for the horse and sun. And obviously they are going to be red and infrared light therapy blankets for horses and dogs at the moment. I am under patent protection and in the process of getting the patent finished. for these. And so the way that they're written too, though, we're going to be able to help any animals down the road. You know, if these become as helpful and popular as I do believe that they're going to manifest as, we can get blankets for goats, you know, and pigs, chickens or whatever, any type of animals that are going to need some help after some type of injury or with an illness or disease or anything like that. So that is kind of the future. If anybody that's listening did hear my first interview, we talked about light and how light is the foundation of everything in your health, and that light can both be healing and bring life to things, or artificial light can actually be causing damage to our life and can cause death and disease. And so obviously in our modern world, we're living under a very artificially lit light, humans, and then also our animals as well. And I don't know if we covered in the first interview, I know we probably went over my story of how I got Lyme disease and got sick and then found out about quantum health, which all involves light, water, and magnetism. And so we talked about light and how I changed my light environment. And it was the only thing that I changed in my health. And I healed naturally. And I only got healthier, stronger, more energy, more vitality. And that continues. And so I decided to just kind of jump on the wagon of trying to share it as much as possible. You know, got certified as a quantum health practitioner. And for the last 2 years, have been teaching about light on podcast interviews, any of my local yoga studios, health clubs, doctor's offices, things like that. On that website, Light Shapes Life, there is a 2-hour webinar that people can purchase for $47. It's not locked or restricted after that. Like, once you have it, you've got it forever. You can share it with your friends and family. And it's a full 2-hour PowerPoint webinar with me where there's all kinds of pictures and graphs and information all about how you can learn basic instructions of how light affects our health, how it's good, how it's bad, and kind of what are some practical protocols and lifestyle changes to make a healthier light life so that you can heal or become even just stronger and have a long vital life without a bunch of medication and sickness and disease. And so it kind of worked out well that as I started teaching all these things, it built up this demand and awareness of what light means. And even if people had never heard about red light or infrared light, and obviously for a little bit of background of that, we do get red and infrared light from the sun. And actually, when you talk about that ceramic piece that comes out of the ground from the Native Americans, ceramics, just the material, the clay that it's made out of, obviously is mass that comes from the ground. So it's already going to have a frequency of vibration that it's existing at. But once it's molded and then it gets the heat from the sun, that's an infrared heat. It's why the ceramic can hold something hot and keep it warm, you know, like your coffee mug or food. But that infrared heat can come off of that ceramic too. That can be very healing. Infrared heat is really, really healing to our bodies and can transmit at really deep levels through the tissue. And so that's a part of why it goes into the blanket. And I know I've kind of bounced around a little bit, but
it's good. Yeah.
I would just want to make sure that anybody, if they're listening to this interview for the first time, to give just a little bit of background information initially from where our first interview went, talking about light and where people can find that information for themselves, for humans. So they can go back and look at our first interview and then they can check out Light Shapes Life. My Instagram and Facebook page, I'm always posting something every day or every couple of days of research or free information on the sun and on light, and how to change those things for your life. And so then the way that this whole new product came around for me, an idea, obviously I own my own business. I'm an entrepreneurial spirit and brain for sure. I've had inventions before, a couple, nothing major that was going to like change the world by any means. But I never kind of followed them and really followed through. And, you know, life happens or you got lazy or whatever. And I'm sure you guys believe with Radiant Creators, like we create our own lives and our own timelines by the choices that we make and the intentions and energy that we put out into the world, right? And so
100%, yes.
I read a book a long time ago called Big Magic, and it talked about these ideas of when we get ideas, whether it's an idea for a book or an invention or something that you just want to create or change in your life, that's almost like this little baby ball of energy, right, that has come to you. And just like a baby, a real baby, it needs to be fed and nurtured and taken care of and paid attention to. And if you don't, it's going to go off and find somebody else that will. And so I've already experienced now in the past of inventions that I had thought of before that I just, you know, let life pass me by and I didn't really pay it too much attention. Even if I had started a few things, I didn't follow through. And lo and behold, a year or 2 years later, there they are on a shelf for sale. And I was like, damn it. It was a confirmation of like, oh, you had an idea that was valid, you know, and if you would have followed through, you probably could have made something out of that. And so it was that little kick in the ass, you know, of like, all right, Jackie, like next time. And that was years ago before all the quantum health and light stuff. And so if people don't know from the first interview, for the last 10 years, my big girl job, my main job is I'm an equine therapist. So I do body work on horses for a living. And that's basically in layman's terms, just a massage therapist, physical therapist for horses. I work on dogs too, but the majority of my clients are horses. And so, you know, I'm working on the full body, range of motion, stretching, rehab programs, exercise programs for the riders and competitors. And I've been doing it for 10 years. And getting into all the quantum health stuff about 4 years ago and learning about light and how it affects us. I mean, animals are also mammals, just like we are. Now, granted, they have a coat of fur and they're down on all fours. And so as far as anatomy and movement, it is a little different. You know, they're quadrupeds, we're bipeds. Gravity hits them a lot differently than us. And so when I got into the quantum health stuff 4 years ago, I started thinking about our animals, because if humans are staying inside more, obviously our animals are also staying inside more. And when I was talking with people in the quantum community, you know, more people share their stories and what they've gone through and their diseases and their pathways to health. And it was interesting that there was always a common theme that some people would realize that their dogs or their cats, whatever animals they had in their homes at the time, would start getting sick before they did as the humans. Cancer, allergies, autoimmune issues. And these are all things that humans and animals did not have 20, 30, 40 years ago. It just didn't exist, right? And so you started seeing this common pattern of like the animals would get sick before the humans would. And it makes sense, you know, smaller bodies, they're more sensitive and sentient beings than we are. Very much kind of like how children can have large reactions to radiation from cell phones or Wi-Fi modems and things like that too. They're just not fully protected. And animals are just more sensitive as well. They're supposed to be outside 24/7 with nature. And so it really got me thinking. And in the performance horse world that I'm used to working in, most people that are not horse people would think horses are outside. They're wild animals. They're huge. They run. They gallop. Unfortunately, in the performance industry, whether it's racing or barrels or dressage, all these different disciplines that horses can be in for competition, they stay in stalls a lot, a lot. And these stalls are anywhere from 10 by 10 to maybe some of the bigger ones might be like 14 by 14, 14 by 20. So they can kind of walk, maybe go in a circle, but they're not moving like their wild sisters and brothers that walk 1 to 30 miles a day outside. And so before this idea even came to me, I started really trying to work with my clients of like, you know, movement is always better than no movement. Like you could get rid of a lot of the issues we have going on with some of these horses and their bodies by just putting them outside more. And there's several reasons why this occurs in the horse industry. And we can get there if we want to talk about the horse industry primarily today. But for this idea, just to get it on the podcast this morning, I was actually sitting in Tulum, Mexico, on a beach in the sun at sunrise so that downloads can start coming to you, right? Information from the sun of God. And all of a sudden, you know, because there's red light and infrared light pads and things that already exist for humans on the human field. And there's actually some that already kind of exist in the animal field. I wasn't sure at this point, but sitting on the beach, it just like, boom, like just hit me in my head, like a blanket, you know, for horses. That's where it started. Yeah. For horses, because that's my main business and they're my passion. And I was like, that's a good idea. And so I kind of just, you know, thought on it while I was still on my trip. And I was like, okay, well, that came from somewhere. And I've got to kind of follow that a little bit. So I came home and I did a bunch of research. And yeah, there was pads that existed, definitely on the human side for sure. And on the animal side, there are already lasers that people use. Like, I already have a laser that I use on rehab cases as well. And then there's pads that are like a specific size, you know, maybe 8 by 11 or something like that, that you can put on like a specific spot of the body that maybe just got injured or a very isolated acute spot. And that's great. They're helpful and they work. The thing is that nobody that's making that and nobody in the veterinary industry is thinking on a quantum scale, just like in our same issue of humans and the modern medical community, they're not thinking on the quantum scale of how the body's all connected, first of all, not just one spot, one organ, one system. It's all connected. It's also an electromagnetic body before it's a chemical body. And so that electromagnetic system has to be tied to the electromagnetic spectrum of the natural sun. And when you don't have that, you cause a chronic level of inflammation all over the body. So then the body is always constantly fighting, which is what? Your immune system. But your immune system's not supposed to be on all the time. This is the problem, you know, with shots or medications or things that we take that trigger the immune system to be triggered. Well, the more and more that we're constantly telling the immune system to be on, and if your body's at a chronic level of inflammation, it's telling the immune system to constantly be on. Well, what are autoimmune diseases? It's the immune system literally attacking the body itself when it shouldn't be doing that. It's on too much alertness when the immune system's only supposed to be triggered when we have a true, you know, bacteria or virus or an acute injury where, yeah, we need some inflammation to protect that area, send in circulation, white blood cells, red blood cells to heal it. The inflammation is supposed to go down and then it heals and then you move on. And we're all walking around with chronic inflammation because we're living indoor, artificially lit lives. And for animals, especially on the horse side, it's even worse because, again, they're down on all fours. So gravity's already against them. With the horse world, we then throw a human that has inflammation, a monkey brain. Maybe they don't understand riding wholeheartedly. And so we're putting a lot of pressure on their bodies. And then they go stand still for 18 hours a day in a box. And even just from kinetic chains and anatomy and physical therapy, like, we always know movement is better than no movement, even if it's just walking. And so these horses are just getting these chronic issues. And what do we do in the animal industry? Just like the human industry, we throw drugs, we throw steroids, we throw hormones, we throw copious amounts of expensive supplements at these animals. And we wonder why nothing is working. It's still occurring. We still have horses that are not doing well or having joint injections when they don't need it or getting kidney spines, which is like a back issue where they have back surgery. And then obviously in the horse racing industry world, which we're seeing in the news, and we can talk about this down the road too if you'd like.
Yeah.
We have horses breaking down on the track. This is something that has still been pretty common in the racing industry. Most horse people that are not in the horse world would not know that, but it's mainstream media right now because a lot of horses have broken down at Churchill in Kentucky this past month with the Derby and racing. And when you get that many horses dying in a short period of time, then of course it's going to alert red flags and be on the news, and PETA comes out and everybody comes out to try to get rid of the horse racing industry. Right. So anyways, I'll kind of wrap back around.
Oh, it's going perfect. Yeah.
When I got the idea of the blanket and then I did all this research, I was like, okay, so it doesn't exist. The veterinary industry is not thinking of the quantum whole body effect. This is an opportunity. This is a real valid thing. Even though I had no idea how to like make a red and infrared light therapy, anything, right? Like, I'm not an engineer, any of those things. And so luckily I have lots of members in the quantum community. And so I reached out to them because people have been using red light body panels, infrared saunas. On the human field, this is starting to become very trendy and very popular, which only helps my case. Because there's already research there. There's over 100,000 different scientific studies done on red light therapy and lasers, whether it's been on human athletes or mice or some horses and dogs that's been done on, not enough and not as much. And I hope to be able to help that too. but it was all there. And so I was able to start getting in touch with manufacturers. I already had a patent contact for a patent lawyer. And so 2 years ago, I made the LLC, and it's been a slow process, obviously, because I have my own business and a house and dogs and, you know, life to take care of. But like Equisoul was also downloaded to me one day out at sunrise. And then I just added Dog Soul because that just felt natural. And got things rolling. It was a little slower last year. I had a family member that had a lot of health issues. So I kind of had to like put stuff on the back burner a little bit. But now that I'm at the point where I'm at with a patent, and I did just get my first dog blanket prototype in 2 weeks ago. And that was just, Craig, I mean, like when I saw that box on the porch, I like, I don't even have, I don't have words to express the emotions of, I squealed and I cried and I laughed and I giggled and my whole body was just jittery with energy, to open that box and see like this baby that I had created and I'm putting out into the world. And there's still so much more to do, of course. But I'm just so excited to be able to bring healing to the animal industry. And at the same time, my idea or other things that have been downloaded to me is, as I now bring these products to the animal industry is also not talking about light and they don't know these things. And so I'm hoping to be able to, at conferences and horse shows and dog shows, when we're trying to sell the product, I still want to be able to teach about light and hopefully parallel when we're talking about it with animals, hopefully have the human owner realize, well, I'm a mammal and I'm living indoors all the time and I need to get out. And granted, this wouldn't be a very good business model because truly we do get red and infrared light from the sun all day, you know, from sunrise to sunset. And the answer would be just to put your animal outside more all the time, you know? But I even know with the blanket, some of these businesses, just like our modern world, are not going anywhere. And so, you know, people have to go to work, their dogs have to stay inside. And the horse performance industry, even if we can get it to push more to have horses have more turnout, there's certain areas that that's just never going to happen. There's certain industries it's just never going to happen. And so if my blanket can come in and at least be some type of a good solution to decrease that chronic inflammation that's in the body, or if they've just had surgery or an injury, it's going to be able to heal that area faster. Also prevent scar tissue and bring good hydration and mobility to all of the soft tissue structures around that site, which is like your ligaments, tendons, fascia, muscle. And so that is the hopes. And so after all of that, basically the invention and creation is a red light and infrared light therapy blanket for horses and dogs. And I see so many pathways of opportunities for these products. Obviously you're going to have direct to consumer, the owner of the dogs or the horses that are going to buy the blanket and use it. I also see where vet clinics would be able to have these in their clinics, both for horses and dogs, for injuries and especially surgeries. So all of our cats and dogs end up with some type of a neuter or spay surgery, right? And so that's going to go along the abdominal wall. Well, my blanket obviously encompasses the outside of the body, but I have already attached a belly band that's going to wrap the blanket because nobody also thinks about that area and the trauma it gets from those type of surgeries, along with like C-sections. So there's huge breeding businesses in the world for dogs. And so a lot of them get C-sections. And it will be time after time after time. Like at one of our vet clinics in Louisiana where I am, they do a lot of dog breeding. And obviously, like you probably know, the French bulldogs are super popular, right? Well, they're super teeny. They might have 6 or 7 puppies, but because of that, they're so small, they can't have the babies naturally like they're supposed to. So those dogs get C-sections every time. So that means that every time they get bred, which I think can happen every... That's going to sound bad. I should know how long the gestation period is for a dog, but I think it's like 6 or 7 months. And so then they have the C-section to get the babies out. They sew that dog up. Well, that's a huge scar. Well, what do scars do? Scars adhese to other tissues. Well, what is that next to? Your organs, your stomach, you know, your rib cage. And then that dog's going to get impregnated again. And then it's going to come in again 6 months later and get another C-section to get the babies out and sewed up again. More scar tissue. Well, I'm probably never going to stop that breeding business by any means. They're making a killing. But if we had these blankets at vet clinics that they could already be putting them on dogs for, the week after they have the C-section and are staying at their clinic to rehab, that would just help that tissue at least heal without as much scar tissue or maybe none at all. That's something that we can study because there's nothing behind it yet. And then also maybe vet clinics have several of these blankets and then they can rent them out to the owners to use post-op for rehab as well. And that's where a clinic would make money, you know, off of the blankets. I see options for, you know, racetracks and barns that have multiple horses. Maybe they buy one or two blankets for the whole barn and then they're able to put it on all the race horses. I'm hoping with my plans going forward that by the research that I know on red light therapy so far in humans and performance human athletes, I have a feeling that these blankets are actually going to help horses perform faster. And if that's an opportunity that does happen, that's obviously not the main reason that I created it or got into it for, but that will be huge. Red light and infrared light therapy is not a drug. It's not a steroid. It's not an invasive surgery. You can't overdose it. So it would be incredible to be able to bring that to the performance field, even for dogs as well, you know, any type of like agility, dogs that are doing things as well, to be able to even have that performance enhancing ability while it's healing at the same time. So there's an article that literally came out Friday. I'm going to post it tomorrow on Equisol, because there's a college in Brazil that's doing a lot of research on lasers and red light therapy, mainly on animals, which is nice because that's kind of the research that I want to show. And now this is on mice, but it can, you know, translate over pretty easily to other animals. They did research on trying to heal muscle tissue that had like micro tears from like working out or building muscle tissue, because that's what you do when you're building muscle. There's micro tears that then heal and build bigger tissue, right? And so we all want to be able to recover faster and not have that soreness or not risk having like an actual tear or break of the muscle. And so the research that they just posted about is they took groups of mice, and obviously you had your placebo group that got nothing. And then they took mice that got red light therapy and steroids, which is something very common in the animal industry and humans. So they got red light therapy and steroids. Then they also had a mice group that got red light therapy and anti-inflammatories. So your NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, Advil, something like that, right? Bute for horses. And then they had a group of mice that only got red light therapy by itself. Now, the placebo group, obviously, like nothing really changed with the muscle tissue. It eventually healed, but it took the longest. The groups that got red light therapy with either steroids or anti-inflammatories did heal faster than the placebo group, right? And did well. The only group, though, that healed fast and also was able to perform better was the red light group by itself.
That is huge. Yeah.
So I'm super excited about that, like totally geeked up. And so I'll be posting that information probably tomorrow. But I mean, when I got that on Friday, I was just like all jittery and high. I'm like, yes, red light therapy and the sun and light. Like I was just so excited. And there's just so many research articles out there like that, that support it, show it. And I mean, it's technically free, you know, you get it from the sun. And then also we can use these devices where we encapsulate that light frequency wavelengths of red and infrared, and use that for healing. So I've been blabbering on and on and on. So if you have any particular questions or anything from all of that, that you'd like to dive into deeper, we can certainly.
Yeah. Well, for the dog side of things, dog soul. Yeah. That doesn't really flow, but how about hound soul? A hound soul. One thing about movement, I can't help but think about is here in Arizona, we have, all over the state, but down here too, in the more arid region, we have wild horses, which I guess are better defined as just feral horses. You know, they're not exactly wild. They just left the farm basically, and so we have generations of them. And if you go out in the desert here, you can, down by where the water is, you can see the wild horses. And to me, the idea of a horse being stuck in a stall is, it's not good for us humans to not move either. But when you think about when I watch the wild horses, they're always in movement. They're climbing things. They're crossing the river. They play, of course. A horse never really stops. They do stand there and sleep. Sometimes they're very still, but yeah, I can't imagine. It's almost like it reminds me of putting a cheetah in a cage. I mean, you know, part of a cheetah's existence is running, you know, and I feel like a horse, part of a horse's existence is running and moving, same as us humans.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing how animals, you know, that didn't used to have so many health issues, kind of like humans that didn't have so many health issues as they do now.
Yeah.
So much of it comes from, you know, being undercover, away from the sun, not grounded to the earth, and then not moving, you know? Yeah. So, and, so the Big Magic Book, definitely have to check that out. And one of the things with your, that we covered in the first interview, but also as you did, the initial kind of spark, I think, that got you into the sun, that where your research led that way, was Lyme disease, right? And so you actually overcame Lyme disease, which is, it's huge. And people can definitely check out that first interview, because, you know, Lyme disease, unfortunately, becomes more common, where I think a decade or two ago, it was something that maybe you knew somebody who had it, but now it's unfortunately on the rise. So to have a way that actually, well, I will say, not giving anybody health advice out there, you know, but something that they could try, you know, because as you mentioned in the first interview, the way they treat Lyme disease is, here's a bucket of antibiotics, just take this daily. And if it doesn't work, we'll just go to two buckets, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, that's really, oh, and antibiotics, you know, especially, I would just say, the more, let's say, light-filled, the more healthy the individual is, which I know people define in many different ways, but the more energy you have flowing through your body, the more of a organic, natural human you are, grounded to the earth and consciousness and the sun, antibiotics, you'll find, really take you out. You know, I think respectfully, I said to people, unhealthy people may not feel it, but especially the more healthy you are, an antibiotic is like, ugh, it's like, I don't know, eating gluten.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's just really rough. So, and then also about light. So this is the thing about your product that I like is, or this product line that's coming out is, we have to always avoid being, you know, too pure, as in, yes, it would be great and ideal to, you know, be wearing leather soled shoes or none and working outside, you know, being more connected to nature, but, that's just not going to be the case for many people, or not 100% the case. So we're always working on being that new Aboriginal, that neo-Aboriginal, like we'll mimic where we have to, what a natural life is, get as much natural life as we can, but where we cannot, do what we can. And I think for the performance and healing of horses and dogs, and I think it'd be incredibly cute if there was one for a chicken, like you mentioned, that would just be, you know, I would be like, stop. If I saw a chicken wearing a little, oh my gosh, you know. Anybody who's lived a rural life or ever had chickens knows how much character a chicken has. And
all animals do. They're so much fun. Like, go outside and just watch animals.
It's yes.
Like Netflix. It's so much better than Netflix. Like, I love
it. Yeah. But if you can't get outside, you can watch it on Netflix, you know, or do both, you know, do both. But, so I look forward to seeing the rooster with the, you know, little,
like a little white vest on maybe.
Oh my gosh. That rooster would think he's the most toughest thing in the yard, you know? So we could look at the products. Let me, I have my screen shared. Let's see if I can get this to come up here. I will see. Will you share for me? No, I don't want to do that. I want to do both of us. And then, oh no, and do this. I'm trying to share this thing again here. Let's see. Full screen layout. Let's see. Will that work? Let's see. Now you can't see us, but that's probably okay for the moment.
Yeah, I can see the screen.
Yeah. So let me just see if I can. There we go. It refreshed. Okay.
So this is just the prototype. So obviously we've got some tweaking that we're going to do with it, with sizing and a few things. But this will be mainly what it does look like for the dog. So I attached a collar up by the neck, obviously, because then there are going to be dogs that maybe have cervical issues or ear issues and things like that. And so the collar will come up big enough on most dogs that it's going to, the light will reach right at the occipital base of the base of the head. So any type of head trauma, neck trauma, surgeries there, scar tissues there. If there's anything chiropractically structural wrong with the cervicals, that's going to be able to get in there and help hydrate those areas and decrease inflammation. And then obviously the blanket covers the rest of the body, all the way to the tail, and then there'll be a belly wrap that wraps underneath. And so again, that just attaches to the whole body. And really with red and infrared light therapy, what it's doing is it's just trying to actually initiate the natural healing system that we have inside our own body, which is the mitochondria, right? And so to energize and hydrate those cells to be able to produce more water, to be able to produce more white and red blood cells, to hydrate the soft tissue. And as you can kind of see with like the pictures of my fingers lifting up the blanket, you can kind of try to see the different colors that are in there. So you can kind of see some red and purple. The purple is actually the infrared light. So infrared light you cannot see with your naked eye. So when you actually look at the pad lit up, the little LED diodes, you're only going to see red lit up on like every other one. The other ones will look like they're not on, but they are. That's your infrared wavelength that we can't see with our naked eye. And those will actually heat up because infrared creates heat. So the blanket will actually get warm. It does not get, you know, hot by any means. You don't have to worry about burning tissue or anything like that. But that will create that little bit of heat. And if we all think about, you know, if we have some tight tissue or an injured site, like we really like that moist heat, sometimes with a heating pack, liniment or anything like that, that we use, it can kind of heat up our tissue or getting out in the sun and heating up that tissue. It just allows everything to flow better with the circulation. And so that's what's going to occur in the body. The blanket will have a really easy on and off button that you kind of saw in the first picture. The dosage at the moment is going to be a 15-minute timer. So once you press that power button, it will run for 15 minutes. It'll shut off automatically on its own. And then with new technology, which is wonderful, when the battery dies, you know, you get so many usages. The only way to charge it is just a little USB cord that plugs into that power button and into the wall. So it's going to be super, you know, easy, super easy, user-friendly. And with the dosages, actually with all the research I've been finding on red light therapy, it's going to be able to do like one session once a day or once every other day. It will depend on kind of the conditions that your dog or horse is dealing with, but, it's going to be super easy for people and that's easy to charge. The horse blanket's probably only going to get between 9 to 12 usages. We're still working on that. They're working on the prototype at the moment for the horses, before it will need to be charged. And then the dogs are going to get anywhere from like 11 to 13 usages before you have to charge it. But I feel like that's super easy. And a couple of reasons behind designing it that way. Number one, it's going to be easy to the owner to charge and unplug. Number two, these are going on animals that move, you know, dogs.
Yeah.
If I still had them plugged into a wall with a wire, you run a lot of risk there of breaking something, getting tangled up and causing more injury than what you're trying to do. And then number three, you know, we talked about Wi-Fi and radiation and some of those dangers and stuff, non-native EMFs in the first interview. And so whenever you plug something into a wall, you are making an electromagnetic field. And by plugging it into a wall, it is something that's man-made, it's non-native. And so you have to be very careful there. And like I said before, animals are very sensitive. So I really didn't want to do anything that was going to plug into a wall either or be like Bluetooth capability, because those are going to make non-native EMFs and I might be destroying the whole health benefits of what I'm trying to do with the blankets. And so with having a rechargeable battery in there, that really negates all of that. And batteries are easy to replace, even if down the road that one happens to go dead after using it for so long. They're super easy to replace. And that just creates a really nice, safe, magnetic environment for the animals while we're trying to heal them with these blankets.
And something I think about is also, so for healing, of course, for specific reasons, like there's an injury and the dog's being healed. I think about just everybody has their old hound dog. Everybody has their rescue, especially. Sometimes we rescue dogs and they're in, you know, rough shape. And I think about just overall, well-being for horses, of course, but also the dogs. I mean, it seems like you're not going to overdose. So just for the general health, especially when I think about older dogs that maybe they're being taken care of now very well. Mm-hmm. Many are rescues and just their life wasn't so good. And they have, you know, hip issues. They have, and you want to see your old dog, I imagine, same as your old horse, be able to live a good life. So it seems like just for maintenance on a healthy dog or an elderly dog, this is going to be great for longevity and health anyhow.
Yes. I'm very excited to, I already know that red and infrared light therapy helps with arthritic issues, but most of the studies have kind of been done on humans or smaller animal models, especially, you know, mice and rats. That's just what's very common in the research field. But once I get some more of these prototypes ordered, which will be soon, I have already reached out to some vet clinics and things trying to find some really arthritic dogs, you know, that get up and they're kind of just crickety and don't move very well. And even if they're on, you know, Adequan or some type of already joint injection and joint supplement and joint food, I'm going to be really excited to throw these blankets on them for like 30 days and record videos and pictures of them, because in my head, I really think I know what the outcome and benefits are going to be, that they will be able to move better and be more comfortable. A side benefit to these blankets are for people that even live somewhere where it's cold in the winter. Horses, obviously when we're cold, we get kind of like real tight and constricted in our tissue. And for horses, for a human to get on a tight horse in the morning when it's cold, you run the risk of, you know, a horse wanting to maybe throw a buck or not be as tight or maybe tear tissue because they are tight. And so I already think too, or for dogs that are going to go out in the cold and maybe they're old and arthritic, they might come in even a little more crickety than they started. What a great way is to bring them in and throw the blanket on them so that they can warm up a little bit and hydrate that tissue, throw it on a horse before you want to ride in the wintertime, and it's going to warm up that tissue and get everything kind of juicy and nice and moving well. And then you can jump on and go for your ride. So I think that's going to be just an additional benefit as well to having these blankets and providing them. So, I mean, I'm super excited about everything that's going to come out of it.
Oh, I see it flowing for sure. And I think about especially people with an elderly dog. If you have an older dog, maybe their dog's health is not the best. It could just be their hips bother them. It's very unfortunate with many older, especially larger dogs. You know, if in the morning before that walk, you can wrap them up, give them a nice treatment, then they'd be able to go outside and do much, much better. Because, you know, anybody who's got, you know, a beloved dog and their little hips are having a hard time knows that it just gets you, you know.
Yeah. The pet industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And I mean, I'm the same. I have two dogs that I absolutely love and would do anything for. So I don't see that being an issue by any means. I think people will really love it and provide it for their animals. And what greater way for something that will last a long time and be able to help them? And, you know, humans, hey, if you want to wrap it around your leg to have benefits, you just wrap it around your leg as well.
Yeah, that's something I was thinking too, is that's kind of a value add, because it's not just for your dog. I always think about, there's so many appliances that we have and such that get used like maybe 0.001% of their lifespan, you know, where, so this is, yeah, anybody in the family, any family friends, et cetera, people that you know, yeah, if they have an injury, you just put it on, especially like for an elbow, a knee, whatever, wrap it around your waist or something like that. And then of course, when you're, you know, friends come over, if they bring their dogs, you know, they're going to want to get in the blankets. So it's something that really can be easily a community appliance for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about the horses and the cheetahs being inside or at a zoo. I wanted to touch on that just because really our modern life, we are becoming zoo animals. I have a good friend, Jim, that's in the quantum field as well. And he always tells people, don't be a zoo animal, you know, go outside, your body. And it's so true because, of course, if you do look at zoo animals and their records, some of them do live longer than their wild counterpart, right? Because when they're out in the wild, if they're a prey animal, like a horse or a small animal, they probably don't live as long because they're prey and they're usually going to end up being eaten by something. So sometimes the zoo animals do live longer, but they're not quite as healthy. They deal with a lot of health issues and a lot of diseases that your wild animals would not. And humans are the same, right? We have all these diseases that are coming around that never existed. Even diseases that existed, like maybe cancer, for example, or some type of metabolic issue like diabetes, we are starting to see that become prevalent in the animal industry as well. And at younger and younger ages, just like in the human field. And the only thing that really has changed, I mean, yes, we have issues with glyphosate and poisons in the air and the water and the ground and all that kind of stuff. Like, those are issues. But the true foundation is the light issue, that we're staying inside more and under artificial lights. And then I think as we all learned during the COVID experience, we found out how important vitamin D is, right? And yes. I think anybody, even on a very layman's terms, we realize now that vitamin D is so important to not just our immune system, but it plays a huge role in almost every function in our body. And that comes along with like bone growth and soft tissue growth and being able to regulate the immune system for all of those things. And animals are the same. And so with us being mammals and also our animals that are four-legged, we all do make our own vitamin D, but we have to have a signal to be able to make it. And we also have to have cholesterol in our system to be able to make it. And so for humans, for example, from our first interview, you have to be outside underneath the UV light in the middle of the day to be able to even make vitamin D. You don't just make it on your own without that trigger. That's your signal. But even if you're out in UV light and if you don't have cholesterol in your bloodstream, your body cannot make vitamin D. And so you have to be able to have cholesterol in your system so that the sun can use it to make vitamin D. Well, mammals are actually no, animals that are four-legged are no different. Well, I can't say four-legged because birds are the same. So a lot of our animal world, you know, they have feathers and they have fur. You might've caught your dog or cat like licking on itself, right?
And kind
of bathing or cleaning itself. So when animals are outside, they also get the signal from the UV light. And what the body does is it creates, it's, that's the trigger and signal. And the body will create like a serum, an oil. And it comes out of the hair follicles. And then when the dog or the cat or the bird start grooming themselves, they ingest that serum. And that creates their vitamin D.
Oh, it's amazing. I didn't know that.
But they also have to have cholesterol in their system to be able to do that whole process. So they have to be outside under UV light and they have to have cholesterol in their system. So by the way, FYI, none of your pets are vegetarians. So if you're feeding vegetarian food, stop doing that. They have to have those signals to be able to do it. And then they make their own. And then think about all of the animals that are suffering of autoimmune diseases or cancers or diabetic issues. We have metabolic issues in horses and dogs as well. They don't call it diabetes. They have a different name for it. But it's the same thing. Horses' necks will get super crusty and they'll get like fat deposits on certain parts of their body. And unfortunately, in the animal industry, now that this is a generalization, so it's not all the time. Like, I don't want vets coming after me with this phone call. They will sometimes blame it on the grass that's outside so that they will keep their horse inside a stall even more and feed them grain instead of allowing them to have their natural diet outside under the sun so that the body can digest it properly, right? And so it's just very backwards, just like our modern medicine community is. And it all ties back to light. And again, my blanket is not going to fix all of these issues because truly the answer is to put them outside and get them moving. And I hope to promote that regardless of selling a million blankets or 500, you know. But I do know that the blanket will allow that chronic inflammation to come down. And then even if you do have a horse that lives outside, but maybe it is older and has some arthritis and issues, there's still going to be a benefit then to having the blanket as well, to hydrate those joints, hydrate those soft tissues, and just promote healing to allow that horse to be as comfortable as it can for however many years that it has. Same with dogs, you know, any animals in general that I'm talking about. So I did just want to kind of bring that forward because if I still always believe if you don't explain why something is needed or
absolutely
behind it, there's not always a good reason that people will either number one, buy it or number two, use it with full understanding of why it's actually beneficial, you know?
No, it makes sense. Yeah. And then even restricting the horse's diet more, that's really something because the wild horses here right in, you know, the southern part of Arizona and they're all through the state, but when you go out and watch the wild horses, they eat everything. And they actually like to go into the river and eat the grass that's growing in the river.
Yeah.
And so they're eating machines. I mean, it's they're kind of their job 24/7. So yeah. And of course that's the same issue that humans have. Most humans eat six different foods, you know, like potatoes, hamburgers, and, you know, canola oil and, GMO, you know, like gluten enhanced wheat. I mean, so pretty much, you know, if people think about it, it's like, oh my gosh, I only eat six different foods, you know? So it's like the wild horse eats more different, as a greater variety in their diet than most humans. So grain only is not going to help them.
Well, I mean, and they don't even definitely think about, which this would be a whole, you know, this will be a whole nother additional information to supply to the industry that's not even too much related to the actual blanket, but just like with humans too, you know, we're very seasonal. And so when we teach this light story and people still really want to get on the whole food story and diets, which yes, is important. We need to still realize that even as humans, we're supposed to eat seasonally. So in the winter, that means, you know, what's growing outside, what's actually available to eat in your location on the planet, right? If you're closer to the equator, you're going to have more carbs available even in wintertime than I might in Louisiana or what you might in Arizona or somebody for sure in like Canada, you know? Somebody lives in Canada in the winter, you're eating meat. That's the only thing that's going to be available in the wintertime. And so even for animals, we're on this like 24/7, 365 cycle of performance, activity, grain, 24/7, 365. Well, in the winter, maybe the horses need to rest more and maybe they are going to get a little skinny because they need to actually fast more. We would be fasting more in the winter if we still live outside because just food was scarce. And, you know, I practice that now in my own life. You should be gaining your weight actually in the summer, which I know we do things backwards for aesthetic value. But that's when carbs are more abundant, you know, your fruits and your vegetables, and those are all water containing foods. And so vitamin D containing foods. And that's the whole point during spring, summer, and fall, we eat those things to get as much vitamin D along with the sun as we can. So that way, when we go through the winter, our vitamin D levels are going to come down naturally. That's not a problem. And your body's going to use that vitamin D to get you through the winter, to keep you healthy and not sick and vital. And you rest more, you hibernate, you lose your weight, you get skinnier because you're fasting. And that's something in the animal field we don't even think about, you know. I've started to do it with my dogs and experimenting with it a little bit. So in the wintertime, there's days where they might just get a can of sardines for their whole meal. You know, and depending on what their activity and stuff is, I'm still, you know, careful with it. PETA, don't come after me. But it's just curious to kind of see, and their energy levels are fine. You know, they're sleeping during the day while I'm gone too, you know, so they're getting plenty of rest. But that's something that we never even think of either. You know, horses are just, especially on the performance side, you know, they're all seen as like machines and commodities, and we just keep them rolling, and it's not quite right or fair, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, something that's very timely with your product line that's coming out is there's an awareness when it comes to light, of course, also the sun, but we have, infrared heat at yoga.
Yes.
And that's, well, it's wonderful, you know, and it's just so many benefits from that. And infrared heated, you know, Pilates, whatever. This is becoming very mainstream, I would say. Not everybody necessarily knows why it makes a difference, but they like it. The heat is good, especially the infrared heat is just blissful. So, and even right down the street here in Scottsdale, we have a red light therapy places where you can, you know, lay under a great big red light mat, and you can, they have all kinds of, you name it. I have only seen pictures of, but we're going to go there for sure and check it out. But
I think I know the owner. I think his name is Jake Weeks. I think he's online.
Oh, I'll have to find out.
You should interview him. That would be fun.
Actually, that would be a good idea. I'd like to, because we have not gone to one of those places yet, but definitely, of course, it's on the agenda, and we will, because that's just wonderful. So when you've got infrared heated yoga and Pilates, and I guess I'm sure even CrossFit training, but when that's happening, you've also got the red light therapy spas, let's call it. That is incredibly, I mean, for that to be able to, and there's more than one of them here in Scottsdale. And so for that to be able to function monetarily, that's a lot of awareness. So it seems like you're maybe you missed some opportunities in the past, but I don't really think so. I think those are that's just training. We're just getting in sync, you know? So it seems like this product, though, you definitely nailed it. It is at exactly the time, you know, it's you're really in sync with quite an awareness that is coming forth right now.
It's very divine. And that's a light story, you know, as well. Granted, this product would be my technically like third innovation. So third time's a charm. And it's all related to light. Like the idea came to me when I was under light and under the divine source. All of the ideas so far for how to run the business and all of that is when I go out and sit with nature and with source. And yeah, the timing just seems to be really well where everything's falling in place. Even just on the human field, there's enough of a demand and interest, even though people don't really understand why or how it works, or maybe underestimates light being so powerful. And then now, like, even though I hate to see everything that is happening with the racing industry and things like that at the moment, we still know that sometimes when tragedy happens, it allows for an opportunity to come in and help. And like I said, the blanket will definitely not be the all solution for what's occurring in that industry or other things in the horse industry. But if I can come in and it's non-invasive and it's not a drug and it can be something that can actually promote healing and almost maybe potentially performance enhancement, I certainly hope that they will snatch that like I think it's going to occur. So yeah, timing is very interesting. Thank you for bringing that up, because I just, it does. Everything has really fallen into place without me forcing or trying to control any of them. And that's pretty cool and powerful. And it is. And I just hope that this is the time now where people are going to be realizing really how powerful light is. That's probably my biggest speed bump, I guess, when you try to talk to people about light. You know, when you first bring up light, people are like, well, what do you mean? Like a light bulb? You know, like, what are you talking about? And even when we get into the quantum health and understanding the whys and the hows and explaining what happened in my life or whatever, people still question that it can be that simple of just connecting to nature and the sun. And I've realized now I start talking to people like, well, what's the most powerful energy in existence? And even if you have to Google it, now I tried this the other day, I started asking people this. Now Google will bring up nuclear energy, right? Because they're thinking of like literal energy that we're using to use for something, correct? And so, okay, yes, that's kind of a half truth. That is true. But then if you break down what is nuclear energy, it's atom particles colliding and creating fusion, which fusion is just friction and vibration, which is just light at the end of the day. And so it breaks down to light. Now, the next question I say is, what's the fastest energy in existence? Light. There's nothing faster. And so, you know, that big bright ball of sun in the sky is 93 million miles away, and we can feel the heat instantly when it arises, right? And so I always ask that. And then if you think about like lasers, for example, there's lasers that are strong enough to cut the deepest, thickest amounts of metal. There's lasers that cut your body open so that they can perform surgery. There's lasers that can perform and can kill you. What's a laser? It's just concentrated light. And so when you start bringing these things up, it's not telling anybody what to do or what the answer is, but those are all facts. And so it literally shows you that light is that powerful. So let's take that to our modern personal lives and say, okay, what kind of light life are you living? What kind of light life are your animals living and underneath? And that's just with light. When you break it down into like the Wi-Fi and the modem and the radiation, those are light too, but it's lights that you can't see. But the blanket's a perfect example of transferring that over too, because even though that infrared LED, everybody's like, oh, is it broken? Because I can't see those ones on. Nope, that's infrared light. You can't see that. Well, you can't see the Wi-Fi radiation either that's coming from your modem. And so I always tell people, you know, if you're gone for the day and your animals are home, unplug your Wi-Fi. They're also getting bombarded by those signals while you're not home. And there's countless stories of that, you know, occurring. I have a friend and lady that's in the quantum field that I, you know, belong with in community. And they were living in a house that they had built themselves, and the electrical company had put a smart meter on the house, right? Oh, yeah. New houses have that so that it can have the Wi-Fi signal to the electrical company. And those things put off huge non-native electromagnetic fields. Guess where the smart meter was? Behind the wall, behind their headboard of their master
room. Yes. And so for some reason they like that spot. I don't know why, but they find a way to always put it right there.
Wherever you sleep, right?
Yes.
And so her dog used to sleep right next to her on the floor, and the dog got a really nasty cancer. And so they were trying to work with the tumors and trying to work with surgeries, and then boom, 6 months later, she gets diagnosed with cancer.
Now they didn't
know anything about quantum health at the time, obviously. So they had no clue. They had no idea. Luckily, between trying to heal and get answers and all of that, they did come across Dr. Jack Cruz and quantum, and thank goodness, you know? And so they ended up moving. Like, they left their dream house that they had built because the company wouldn't change the smart meter. And so they moved to a different house, and they were able to get that one already had one as well, but they were able to get it switched. I can't remember if her dog made it. She's still alive and beat the cancer, obviously, with quantum health. I don't remember about the dog's fate. Sorry. That's just an example of, you know, the dog being a little bit more of a sensitive being, and also had the consequences come sooner. And then the human, not too much longer, was coming behind. So that's always a big key for people. If you have animals and your animals start to get sick,
yes,
that's a red flag. You know, start looking at your environment and start looking at what kind of light life do you have around you, and how can that, you know, affect you? And that light is that powerful. You know, there's in the horse industry, which I won't say it right now what my other product is, but like for horses performing, when they go to horse shows out of state somewhere, or at a facility, right, that has stalls, usually those horses will be in those stalls, and at night they will leave the lights on of where the stalls are. So guess what those lights are? Fluorescent LED bulbs, you know? And so that's just shining blue light on the horses all night long. Well, if you were to go to bed in your bed and have your light still on the top of the ceiling, do you think you would rest well or sleep well, and you would be able to perform the next day? Like jumping and running a marathon and like, no. I mean, you do it, but how much are you tearing down your body because you haven't rested and you haven't gotten your good sleep? So there's a lot of issues and opportunities there, obviously, of where we can really help, you know, the animals. And even when you talk to people about light still in that format of lasers being strong, and it's the strongest, you know, energy source and fastest energy source, we've been using light to manipulate animals for a long time. When you look at like the breeding cycle, or even when you brought up the chickens, right? I probably don't think that I'll be making a vest really for chickens, because if you do look at like chickens roosting, or you're trying to hatch eggs or grow those chickens, what kind of light bulb do they have over them? Oh. A reptile light bulb, right? And so that's an infrared light bulb, creating heat, creating red. It's mimicking the sun. It's the same thing we do with reptiles. When people have snakes or geckos or lizards or whatever in their house, what kind of bulb do they have over them? It's an infrared red bulb, and they get underneath there and they sit and like sunbathe underneath the bulb. They're mimicking the sun of what they would do in nature. You know, we see dogs and cats go find the sunny spot on the carpet or outside to go literally in the sun. Like, you don't have to tell a lion how to be healthy. Us humans with our monkey brains, we get all confused and lost, but the animals know what they're searching for. And if you just watch and follow them, they'll show you. And even outside, you know, the dog might lay out in the direct sun for 20, 30, 40 minutes. And when it gets hot, what do? They go find shade and get underneath a tree. So we should be following all of those things. Breeding with horses. We're breeding horses. Well, not all breeds, but like the thoroughbred industry and a lot of industries will get the horses pregnant in the wintertime. So December, January, February, March, so that they'll have their babies. Now their gestation is 11 months, so it's almost a full year.
Wow.
And so then they'll have their babies again earlier in that year, and then get pregnant again and redo this whole thing. And I don't really know the full history of why they started to do that, but in nature, female mammals will actually not really come into heat, which is when they can get pregnant, through the winter, which that makes sense, right? They're skinnier, they're not as healthy, there's not as much food, there's not as much resources. And the system actually works that way to where like maybe you wouldn't have a period or have a period quite as long during the winter times. And then as the sunlight gets stronger and the UV comes out and those days are longer, there's more vegetation, there's more resources. that is when your wild horses are going to actually get pregnant and have babies. So then how do we get horses pregnant in the wintertime? We use light. So they'll put on fluorescent lights in the wintertime and keep mares, which is your female horses, under lights 24/7 to keep controlling into periods when they need to and into estrus when they need to. So yes, that's not great that we're doing that, but that also just proves to people when they go, light, you know, light schmite, whatever.
Yeah.
Literally bringing somebody into animal into estrus by using light 24/7. So it's just more of that, like, we really need to be paying attention to really how strong and powerful this is, and that we can use it for good or it can be causing harm. And that's what we need to be looking at, because nobody's talking about it.
Oh yeah. And for the individual, there's definitely listen to that first interview and Jackie Jolie's other interviews many places. But a huge tip for people when it comes to light is get rid of all the artificial lighting in your home. Right now, there is a war on incandescent bulbs. They're just like they're evil. You go to Home Depot, you will not find, you can't find them. It used to be like they had a couple on the bottom. Now, like, no. And so actually, like preppers, we've been stacking like incandescent bulbs, because when you think about it, that's actually truly fire. Mm-hmm. That is the light. That's what's creating it. You know, a little bit of tungsten steel there, and it's red hot. There's no oxygen, so it can't oxidate too much and break. So eventually it does, but you actually, in your home, when you have the incandescent bulbs, you're living by candlelight in a way. You're living by firelight. And I think that will, anybody, you know, give that a shot, at least where you live, where you hang out in your living room, in your bedroom, have real light bulbs. And right there, that, I mean, you know, not giving anybody health advice, but just saying, I felt a difference. And most people that I know definitely, when they get off the LED bulbs and start to live by real fire light, candlelight, even if it's in a glass bulb, life changing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just have to think about that. And then with your animals on this context for this podcast, are your animals living underneath LED and fluorescent light bulbs all day and all night, and blue light from the TV hitting their eyes? Like, all of those things are going to interrupt the circadian rhythms in our bodies. And if you don't know any of this that I'm talking about, then yes, please go back and find the first interview or any of my interviews or the webinar on my website. But your animals also work off circadian rhythms and clocks. And so if we get any of that, you know, out of order or dysfunction, which we do by artificial light at night, you know, it needs to be restored, because then that's where chaos and inflammation comes in, and that's where disease is caused. And, you know, like we already said before, we're seeing that more and more, and at younger ages, and also in our animals. And so we need to start evaluating that.
Absolutely. And so Jackie Jolie's presentation, that's available on her site. I have not seen the whole thing. I've seen part of it during our first interview, but definitely worth checking out. And so is the first interview, of course. It is well-researched, deep stuff. And she definitely makes the case and then some for everything that she is talking about. So, well, you know, I could keep going for quite a while, but thank you so much for being on Radiant Creators again. I'll put links to everything that we've been talking about, of course, in the first interview. And I believe that there's a GoFundMe for Equisol right now. That's the stage that it's in, but there's working prototypes. This thing is real now. You know, I hope that you guys have a Chihuahua size one because, you know,
the plan is we're going to have five sizes initially to provide. So extra small, small, medium, large, and extra large for dogs. If somebody ends up having a Great Dane or like a super tiny teacup, you know, Chihuahua or Yorkie or something, down the road, initially we won't be able to provide it, but down the road we'll be able to do a custom size. So you would just take the measurements of your specific dog and then we'll make a custom size for you. Those will probably cost extra because they're just one-off.
Oh, yeah.
The manufacturing company. But you know, people are willing to do that, and you can put, you know, their name prescribed, you know, embroidered on it or whatever. Like, we would personalized area for sure for the business. But yeah, you know, we are kind of in the initial introductory stages. They're not out for sale yet. So I always want to put that out there for sure. I'm in the prototype stages. The best thing to do to stay in contact is either follow the social media pages for Equisoul. They're on Facebook and Instagram. Or if you'd like, the website's under construction right now. So if you go to equisoul.life, L-I-F-E, you can sign in with your, you can sign up for the newsletter and updates with your email address. And that's probably the best way to get like the news and updates for the business and the blankets right away. My goal and hope for timelines is that we will be able to produce the dog blankets for sale by this fall or by end of year for sure. So fingers crossed on that. And we're working on that. If there's anybody listening that is interested in research, being a part of the company, funding, investing, I'm certainly open to any of those opportunities. So you can definitely reach out in those ways. I want to get this out and help as much as we possibly can. And I'm kind of a geek nerd in that way. So I would love to be able to actually get some real research behind this too, with dogs and with horses, something where we can really provide that concrete data. So if there's anybody that's, you know, curious about that or interested, definitely reach out to me and we will get that light shining bright for the animals. It'd be great.
Wow. Thank you so much for being on the show again. And I think the one social media landing spot that kind of has links to it all ultimately will be the show notes for this interview, but also just lightshapes.life is pretty much a good spot people can start. Mm-hmm. And easy to remember, just lightshapes.life, and go there and you can get exposed to the universe. So yeah. take care, and thank you so much for being on again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Thanks everybody.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, and